Coffee Break German, Lesson 17. Herzlich willkommen zurück zu
Coffee Break German.
Ich bin Marc.
Ich bin Thomas.
Und wir sind hier, um
Deutsch zu lernen.
Ja, danke. We're here to learn some German. I'm here to learn some German. And Thomas is here to help us all learn some German. We are back with another episode of our show. And this week we're looking at tourist information, visiting a tourist information office and asking some questions. We'll be putting into practice what we learned last time, particularly those modal verbs. And we'll be learning some new phrases to help us get by in this kind of situation.
Marc, bist du bereit?
Ich bin bereit.
Sehr gut.
Los geht's.
Okay, to review some of the phrases we learned last time, Marc is trying to translate what I tell him in German.
Okay, take it away.
Number one, do you have postcards?
So hopefully our listeners are thinking about this. I would say, haben Sie Postkarten?
Richtig.
So Postkarten, it was eine Postkarte.
Die Postkarte, eine Postkarte.
And the plural Postkarten.
Postkarten.
Okay, so haben Sie Postkarten?
Haben Sie Postkarten. Number two, where can I buy stamps?
Okay, where can I buy stamps? I would say, wo kann ich Briefmarke kaufen?
Wo kann ich Briefmarken kaufen? The plural.
Ah, okay, Briefmarken.
Wo kann ich Briefmarken kaufen?
So it's eine Briefmarke.
But zwei Briefmarken, for example.
Zwei Briefmarken. Okay, I'll remember that.
Number three, can I pay with a credit card?
So would that be, kann ich mit Kreditkarte zahlen?
Stimmt.
Kann ich mit Kreditkarte zahlen?
And the last one, do you have that in smaller?
Okay, could you say here, haben Sie das in kleiner?
Yes, you can say that, but we also learned another phrase last time that was?
That was, gibt es das in kleiner?
Gibt es das in kleiner? Sehr gut.
And that gibt es is something that we're going to go on to use a little more of today.
That's right. It's a very useful phrase if you want to ask if something does exist in a town.
So, for example, is there a museum here?
Gibt es hier ein Museum?
Gibt es hier ein Museum?
Gibt es hier ein Museum?
Or is there a swimming pool here?
Gibt es hier ein Schwimmbad?
Gibt es hier ein Schwimmbad?
Gibt es hier ein Schwimmbad?
And I've got a question. If we were talking about, for example, der Bahnhof, the station, which is masculine, would we say, gibt es hier einen Bahnhof?
You would use the accusative again. Yeah.
So with gibt es, we need to think accusative.
Exactly.
So gibt es hier einen Bahnhof?
Gibt es hier einen Bahnhof? Gibt es hier einen Park?
Einen Park, presumably a park?
Yes. Now, if you're in the tourist information office and you want to ask if something is close by, like in walking distance, you can say, gibt es ein Museum in der Nähe?
Let's hear that last bit again.
In der Nähe.
In der Nähe.
It means in the
vicinity?
Not literally, but yeah, the meaning is the same.
Yeah, so in the neighborhood that you're in the surrounding area.
Yes, in walking distance, for example.
Okay, so gibt es ein Museum in der Nähe?
Gibt es ein Museum in der Nähe?
So if I were to ask in the tourist information office, gibt es einen Park in der Nähe?
Well, you might hear as an answer, ja, es gibt einen Park nur 10 Minuten von hier.
So I'm guessing that means there is a park 10 minutes from here?
only 10 minutes from here.
Only, because that's the Nur. Nur.
Nur.
Nur 10 Minuten von hier.
Or you could say nur 2 Kilometer von hier.
So 2 kilometers away. Only 2 kilometers away. Nur 2 Kilometer
von hier.
Von hier. And let's see, there is a park. For example, yes, there is a park beside the school.
Beside would be neben.
Neben.
Neben der Schule.
Neben der Schule. I thought it was die Schule.
Yeah, that's where it gets really, really tricky again.
Oh, okay.
Because we're going to introduce a new case, the dative.
The dative case. So we've had nominative, which is the subject. We've had the accusative, which is the object. What's the dative all about?
It can either be an object or a description where something is.
Okay. I'm guessing that in a moment we're going to pass over to our grammar guru before we pass out. But let's just go through some phrases first of all. So you said it's der Schule.
Neben der Schule.
Neben der Schule, although it's normally die Schule.
Yeah, that's right.
So die becomes der in the dative.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay, so that's for the feminine. Let's choose a neuter word, das Museum. How would we say beside the museum?
Neben dem Museum.
Dem, D-E-M.
Dem Museum.
Dem Museum. Neben dem Museum. So es gibt einen Park neben dem Museum. There's a park beside the museum.
Exactly.
So that's dem for neuter words. What about masculine words?
It's also dem.
Oh, good. There's good news, finally. So we've got es gibt einen Park neben dem Bahnhof.
Neben dem Bahnhof, yeah.
So beside the Bahnhof, beside the station. There's a park beside the station. Es gibt einen Park neben dem Bahnhof.
So it's dem for neuter and masculine and der for feminine.
I think it's time to hand over to our grammar guru just to tidy all of this up.
Okay, let's try and make sense of this new case, the dative. Thomas is right. One use of the dative case is when you're describing where something is or the position of a certain object. And what do we need to be able to describe the position of an object? Prepositions. Do you remember how we needed to use the accusative case after prepositions like über? Well, there are also prepositions which require you to use the dative case. You've just met one, actually, neben, which means beside or next to. Other prepositions which describe where something is and require the dative case are gegenüber, meaning opposite, and zwischen, which means between. You heard this one a couple of lessons ago when Thomas said breakfast was zwischen sieben und zehn. You'll remember that words like articles change their form depending on what case they're in. And Thomas has just given us the definite articles in their dative form. Let's go through them once more. The masculine definite article in the dative case is dem. That's D-E-M. The feminine definite article in the dative case is der. And the neuter one is dem, same as the masculine. So let's have some examples. We'll have the nominative form of the noun and its article first, followed by the same noun after the preposition neben in its dative form. We've got the masculine der Park, which changes after neben to neben dem Park. Then the feminine noun die Kirche changes to neben der Kirche. And finally, neuter, das Museum, neben dem Museum. So now you know the definite articles in three cases. The nominative, der, die and das. The accusative, den, die and das. And the dative, dem, der and dem. You'll be pleased to know that that's the third of the four cases in German, so only one more to go. But remember, practice makes perfect. So I'll hand you back over to Thomas and Mark to practice the dative case using those other prepositions I mentioned.
So gegenüber, which means opposite.
Opposite.
That uses the same idea. So we could say, es gibt eine Bank gegenüber dem Museum.
Es gibt eine Bank gegenüber dem Museum. Or es gibt eine Bank gegenüber dem Rathaus, the town hall.
Dem Rathaus.
Dem Rathaus.
So it's normally das Rathaus.
Exactly.
But in this case it's dem because of gegenüber. So es gibt eine Bank gegenüber dem Rathaus.
Now another phrase. Maybe you can translate it and take care of the cases.
Okay.
There's a museum in between the station and the church. And the church is die Kirche.
Die Kirche. Okay, there is a museum between the station and the church. That would be, es gibt ein Museum zwischen dem Bahnhof und der Kirche.
Richtig.
I think I'm definitely in need of a little break, so we'll be back in just a moment.
Wer rastet, der rostet. Keep your German up to scratch with our regular posts on Instagram. You can practice your verbs, build your vocabulary, increase your range of expressions with German idioms and find inspiration for your language learning. Worauf wartest du? Bring dein Deutsch voran. Go to instagram.com/coffeebreakgerman and join the fun.
Okay, Thomas, are you going to teach us more about the dative?
Let's move away from the dative. I think we've had enough for today.
Definitely.
But let's stick to the gibt es and introduce a new phrase here. You can say, was gibt es hier zu sehen?
What is there here to see?
Yes, very good.
Because sehen is as in auf Wiedersehen, until we see each other again.
Exactly. Sehen is the infinitive.
So, was gibt es hier zu sehen?
Was gibt es hier zu sehen? Or, was gibt es hier zu tun? What can you do here?
What is there to do? Zu tun?
Zu tun.
Was gibt es hier zu tun?
Was gibt es hier zu tun?
Okay. How would you say, what is there to do here for young people, for children, for example?
Was gibt es hier für Kinder zu tun?
Was gibt es hier für Kinder zu tun?
Für Kinder.
Für Kinder.
Für Kinder.
Okay, and what about young people, so teenagers, for example?
Was gibt es hier für junge Leute zu tun?
Für?
Junge Leute.
Junge Leute.
Young people.
Okay, was gibt es hier für junge Leute zu tun?
Was gibt es hier für junge Leute zu tun?
What about older people?
You would say Senioren, which is nicer than just say old people.
Okay, so was gibt es hier für Senioren zu tun?
Richtig.
Okay.
If you're in the tourist information office, you might want to have a city plan or a map. So the word for map of the town would be Stadtplan, der Stadtplan.
Stadtplan, der Stadtplan.
The city plan, der Stadtplan.
Stadtplan, okay. So could I say, haben Sie einen Stadtplan.
Sehr gut. Or kann ich einen Stadtplan haben?
Ah, okay, turning it around. Yes, so kann ich, with your modal verb and the infinitive going to the end, kann ich einen Stadtplan haben?
Genau. Another word might be Broschüre, if you want to have some information about like a castle or an adventure park.
Broschüre.
Broschüre.
And is it die or das or?
Die Broschüre. Die Broschüre. Feminine.
Okay, so kann ich eine Broschüre haben.
Kann ich eine Broschüre haben?
What would a timetable be, for example, the opening times of a museum?
Probably der Zeitplan.
Der Zeitplan.
The time plan.
Okay, Zeit, der Zeitplan. So that would be, haben Sie einen Zeitplan?
Stimmt genau. On the timetable, you might see the word Öffnungszeiten, which means opening times.
Say that again?
Öffnungszeiten.
Öffnungszeiten.
Opening times.
Öffnungszeiten.
Öffnungszeiten. Die Öffnungszeiten.
So what is the verb to open?
Öffnen.
Öffnen. Okay, so let me see. How would we say, what time does the museum open at?
Um wie viel Uhr öffnet das Museum?
Um wie viel Uhr öffnet das Museum?
Um wie viel Uhr öffnet das Museum? At what time the opens the museum?
At what time? Yeah, okay. So um wie viel Uhr öffnet das Museum?
And the answer might be, das Museum öffnet um 9 Uhr.
So the museum opens at 9 o'clock.
Genau.
So um 9 Uhr, at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Okay. So how would we say, what time does the museum close at?
Schließen is the word for to close.
Schließen.
Schließen.
So at what time does the museum close?
Um wie viel Uhr schließt das Museum?
Um wie viel Uhr schließt das Museum?
Das Museum schließt um 8 Uhr.
Das Museum schließt um 8 Uhr. So the museum closes at 8 o'clock.
Yeah. How would you say, at what time does the bank close?
Would that be, um wie viel Uhr schließt die Bank?
Richtig.
Um wie viel Uhr schließt die Bank?
If you in general want to ask, when is something opened, you can say, wann ist die Kirche geöffnet? When is the church opened?
Wann ist die Kirche geöffnet?
Wann ist die Kirche geöffnet?
Say the word for open again.
Geöffnet.
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 Geöffnet. Wann ist die Kirche geöffnet?
And then the answer might be, die Kirche ist von 12 Uhr bis 8 Uhr geöffnet.
So there the word for open is going to the end of the sentence.
Yes.
So I would say, die Kirche ist von 12 Uhr bis 8 Uhr geöffnet.
Yes, you also can say, die Kirche ist von 12 bis 8 geöffnet. Die Kirche ist von 12 bis 8 Uhr geöffnet. So you can leave the Uhr. Or you can say it for both of the times.
Okay, and so it's just von, it's from, and bis to.
Von, bis.
Could I say, die Kirche ist zwischen 12 und 8 geöffnet?
Yeah, that's also possible.
I like zwischen. It's one of my favorite German words so far. Zwischen. Die Kirche ist von, no, ist zwischen 12 und 8 geöffnet.
Stimmt.
Okay, it's time now to hand over to Julia, our cultural correspondent. And Julia today is going to be taking us on a bit of a virtual tour of one German-speaking city. Over to you, Julia.
Hi Marc, hallo Thomas und guten Tag an alle unsere Coffee Break German Zuhörer. Ich bin's wieder, Julia, eure Kulturreporterin. In this episode, and indeed in some future episodes, I'm going to take you on a little trip to a famous town or area in Germany, Austria or Switzerland. We're going to look at some of the famous sites or landmarks each place has to offer. If you like, a kind of top five things to see and do in different parts of the German-speaking world. Let's start in the very north and work our way south. We've already mentioned Hamburg, Germany's second biggest town. Hamburg is often described as das Tor zur Welt, the gate to the world. And this is due to Hamburg's huge port, which is Europe's second largest and, believe it or not, the 10th largest in the world. One of the best ways to get a feel for this area is to take a boat tour, stroll along the waterfront and enjoy an excellent seafood dinner in one of the many restaurants around. For those of you interested in modern architecture, you'll really enjoy the district called Hafen City, one of the largest urban building projects in Europe of the 21st century, right in the very center of Hamburg. Around 155 hectares of former warehouses and factory buildings are being converted into thousands of new waterfront apartments, tower buildings, restaurants, shops, and the new Elbphilharmonie, a new venue for classical and jazz music. By the time it's finished in 2025, this harbor city will double the population of downtown Hamburg, providing jobs and homes for tens of thousands of people. Number three in our top five is Hamburg's signature landmark, St. Michaelis, or as most people say, Hamburger Michel, also the most famous church in the north of Germany. For an amazing view of Hamburg's city center and harbor, you just have to climb the spiral staircase. In addition to interesting buildings, Hamburg is also known for its fish market. It really is a must for all the gourmets among you. This 300-year-old open-air market is open on Sundays between 5 and 9 a.m. and sells fresh seafood, exotic fruits and nuts, as well as teas from all over the world. Of course, last but not least, we cannot talk about Hamburg without mentioning the famous, or should I say infamous, district of Reeperbahn, a place known as Hamburg's entertainment district. On this legendary nightlife mile, you'll find many great bars, restaurants, theaters and clubs, and it surely is an interesting and fascinating place to visit for travelers. Of course, I should have mentioned earlier that these top five things to see and do are not in any particular order. Some of you will be more interested in the Elbphilharmonie than the Hamburg nightlife. Anyway, I hope my top five things to see and do in Hamburg have put you in the mood to visit this great city on your next trip to Germany. Zurück zu Marc und Thomas ins Studio. Bis bald!
So thank you to our cultural correspondent for that interesting information.
Mark, ich glaube, das reicht für heute.
Ich glaube auch. I think there's only so much datives that anyone can take in one lesson of Coffee Break German. Don't forget, of course, that you can go to our website at coffeebreakgerman.com to find out more about the course and indeed to leave your comments. Do let us know what you think. Now, just before we finish today, there's one other thing I'd like to mention, and that's the fact that on the Radiolingua website, we've just announced that we are now able to take payments for our courses using the payment processor WorldPay. This means that you can now pay by American Express, MasterCard or Visa without having to set up a PayPal account or anything like that. So if that's of interest to you, do head over to coffeebreakgerman.com where you can follow the steps to buy our premium version of the Coffee Break German course, which of course includes the comprehensive lesson notes, video versions of the lessons and additional bonus listening materials. That's at coffeebreakgerman.com. So Thomas, what's coming up on the next edition of Coffee Break German?
Next time we're going to continue learning about the times and how to get around by public transport.
Until then.
Wie üblich, vielen Dank fürs Zuhören.
Wie what?
Like always, as usual.
Wie üblich.
Wie üblich.
Okay, wie üblich, vielen Dank fürs Zuhören.
Und bis zum nächsten Mal.
Tschüss. You have been listening to a production of the Coffee Break Academy for the Radiolingua Network. Copyright 2017 Radiolingua Limited. Recording copyright 2017 Radiolingua Limited. All rights reserved.